Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Pei, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, the last words, Amar Rava. In our previous shiur, we had discussed that the Mishnah began with a din of Ritzeach Shnus Arav Bacherim. If Ritzeach gets mixed up together with other people, the halacha is a machloikas Tanakama and Rabbanan. Where the opinion of the Tanakama is kulam paturim, that all of them are all potter, and Rabbi Yehuda said that kainsonai selakipa, we take them to prison. And the Gemara tried to understand what was the case of the Mishnah, because as the Gemara said, it's hard to say that the case of the Mishnah is a situation where this guilty individual got intermingled with innocent people. Because if they got intermingled with innocent people, then sorely the halacha ought to be that they all should go free, based specifically on the halachas that we've been learning so many times of Vitzilo Eda, that Sofik Nefashos Lahakal. So therefore we explained that the Gemara gave two answers. The first answer the Gemara gave was the answer of Abu of Shmuel, that we're referring to a situation of one individual whose psak had not been finalized, his verdict had not been finalized, who got, as a murderer, who got intermingled with other people whose verdict were finalized, so they're all murderers. And that's what the Mishnah, that is the case that the Mishnah debates. Would Rabbanan say, since his verdict wasn't finalized, nor can it anymore be finalized, since we can't specifically identify him, therefore they're all Pturim? Rabbi Yehuda says, since they're certainly all murderers, we take them all to the Kippah. Then the Gemara suggested that brought the Teretz of Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish says that Amish is referring not to a person who killed, because he says under those circumstances, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that nobody's taken to be killed if we can't identify the murderer, and therefore pass his verdict knowing that this is he. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda said we're referring to a situation, Rabbi Shlokesh said we're referring to a situation of a shor, that there's an animal who killed that got intermingled with other animals, and even though we can't finalize the psak on this animal, again, because the halacha is kamisa sabal and kachmisa sashor, we could only kill an animal when we know that this is the animal, or we said another pshat yesterday that we know that this is the owner of that animal, and therefore the rabbanim say that they should all, that they're all potter. And Rabbi Yehuda said, since we have here all animals that are killers, and animals that are killers are also bahana, that's why they're all taken lakipa. And now our Gemara begins by questioning these two terutzim. Amar Rava asks Rava, there's a braisa, ihochi. Let's understand a braisa that speaks about this case. Hana the Tani Allah, Rabbi Yossi said regarding our Mishnah that the halacha of our Mishnah would apply. Afilu Abba Chalifta b'neim, even if my father Chalifta were amongst these individuals, the same din would apply. And the question is very obvious. Given either explanation of the Mishnah that we just quoted, it doesn't make any sense why it should make a difference, the statement that Rabbi Yossi is making, that if my father Chalifta were one of the people. Let's think about it. If it's referring to the first teretz that we quoted, that we're referring to a situation where there are individuals who were sentenced for Ritzicha, and then there are individuals there's an individual who was not sentenced for Ritzicha that got intermingled. So what's the difference if the person who was sentenced is Abu Chalifta or someone else? That shouldn't change the din. And similarly, the teretz that Resh Lakish suggested, that we're talking about the animals, and the shor who wasn't sentenced got intermingled with other animals who were sentenced, again the same question comes up. What's the difference if it's Abu Chalifta who owns the shor, or it's someone else who owns that animal? And therefore, after Rabbi Yossi quotes this brisa as an explanation of our Mishnah, we need to understand, we obviously see that these two explanations that were just offered cannot be the correct interpretation of our Mishnah. The Paiskim, based on this Gemara, actually discuss a question: if one is allowed to ever call his father by his father's name. Because here we find in our Gemara that Rabbi Yossi called his father Chalifta, and he called his father by his name. So some Paiskim say, actually many Paiskim, the Chidah and the Mashal, all to say that even though one is not allowed to call his, say his father's name, here it's different, because here the father, he says the words Abba, and by saying the word Abba, therefore we're not, it's showing respect, and therefore one could use his father's name. However, there is a machloikas apaiskim. Is it specifically in the order as our Gemara says, meaning first saying Abba and then saying Chalifta? So is the opinion of the Parashas Drachim. The Chidah disagrees, and he says that even if somebody were to say Chalifta Abba, he would say his father's first name and then say the word Abba, the halacha would be the same. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that if in the course of tefillah and davening, somebody mentions his father's name, he's davening for himself and he mentions his father's name, he's davening for his father, there, when one is davening to Hashem, he doesn't have to mention the word Abba when he's speaking about his father. The same halach would be regarding a Rebbe. He wouldn't have to say Rebbe, whatever his Rebbe's name is. Ella Amar Rava. So therefore, Rava says, Hachikama. This is Pshat in our Mishnah. Shnayim Shayim Dim, if two people were standing, V'yotzachet V'menayim V'horag, and the arrow, a bullet, came out between two people that killed someone, the halach is Shnayim Turim. Since we don't know who the murderer is, the halach is they're both potter. V'am Rav Yossi, and on that, Rav Yossi comments, Afilo Abba Chalifta B'Neim. So would be the halacha that even if my father Abba Chalifta was one of those two individuals, and my father Abba Chalifta was a great tzaddik, so it's highly unlikely that it was he who committed the murder, since we cannot specifically identify that it was who the murderer is, the halach is neither of them is sentenced. But now we have to understand the Mishnah. If this is the case, we could understand the first psak of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that Rabbanan say under such a circumstance, Peturim. The reason Peturim is because we don't know who the murderer is. But Rabbi Yehuda went on and said, Kainsanai Salakipa, they're taken to prison. And the question is, why would Rabbi Yehuda say under such a circumstance, Kainsanai Sai Lakipa? And therefore, says the Gemara, we have to add words into the Mishnah. The next case of the Mishnah is referring to such a situation. V'shor shenig medina. If a shor that was found guilty was sentenced to death, they got intermingled with other oxen, they did not kill. So the Tanakhama's opinion is, we have to kill all the animals. And as the Rishonim explained, because this animal that was sentenced to death is Osa Bahanoah, so we have here intermingled an animal. That's Osa Bahanoah, that's why all the animals have to be put to death. Rabbi Hudaimer, we don't put them to death, rather, Kainsanai Salakipa. We bring them to the keeper and they die over there. So Rashi explains, the reason Kainsanai Salakipa is because since we don't know which animal is the animal that specifically Mechuyiv Skila, is obligated to get Skila, so we don't go through the bother of giving them Skila, it's enough to put them into the keeper and that's where they will die. To which the Mefarshim explain, Rashi explains, because we don't have to have a tircha. So Sodar of Shach asks, obviously, this animal that's Mechuyiv Skila is not bottle, does not become nullified amongst all the other animals. So if it doesn't become bottle, it has a Chiyiv Skila. So how could the Gemara, specifically according to Rashi's explanation, just because we want to avoid the tircha, we want to avoid the bother of going through killing the animal, is it enough just to let the animal, is that enough of a reason not to do what the Torah says is the mitzvah, to give skila? So Rav Shach answers as follows. He says, midai raisa, the concept that an animal, a whole animal doesn't, even a whole animal becomes bottle. It's only a dimid rabbonon that a whole animal cannot become bottle. So he says that's pshat in the Gemara. Midaraisa, the animal becomes bottle. So since the animal becomes bottle amongst the other animals, there is no chiv skila. It's only midrabbonon that was saying that the animal doesn't become bottle. Since it's only midrabbonon that was saying the animal doesn't become bottle, midrabbonon, the rabbonon said we don't have to go through the skila process. It's enough to guess. It's enough just to consonant shel kippa, and it will die there. Taisus, however, seems to have a very different approach to the Gemara. Taisus is also bothered. Why should we take this animal and take it to the keeper and it'll die of starvation, which is a very gruesome death? Why don't we just do skila on the animal? So Taisus says, because were we to do skila on the animal, one could come to make the mistake that when we have a person who we don't know if he's mechuyev skila, who got, because as we learned earlier, he wasn't yet sentenced to death, who got intermingled with other individuals who har chayev skila, we would perhaps, if we had the din of skila by the animal, come to make the error that so too is the din by a person. And by person, clearly, everybody is in agreement that that is not the din. So to avoid making such an error, Chazal said, Vatanya, and the Gemara says, quotes a machloikis in a braisa, which is very similar to this machloikis. The braisa says, Paro shemisavach kach yolda. If a paro killed somebody, killed a person, and then afterwards had a baby, says the braisa, imachin lo nigma dina yolda, if it had the baby before her verdict was finalized, then the halacha is vladimut, the child is permitted. However, imish nigma dina yolda, if it only happened after the verdict, the halacha is vladimut asr. And the Gemara, in a moment, will go into great depth in explaining this thing. But continues the braisa, this arv b'cheirim, if this cow became intermingled with other cows, v'cheirim b'cheirim, and then it got intermingled a second time. And Tosfos actually says there are two ways of how understand the braisa. One way of understanding is that one cow in the first group became intermingled with a second group. Or another way of explaining the braisa, says Tosfos, is that the entire first group that included in that entire first group is the cow that's osu b'hanah, became intermingled with a second group. According to the first interpretation, the Brice is teaching us that even though we have here a situation of svek sveka, the halacha is that still all the cows are osur. According to the second interpretation, in the case, in the first way of explaining the Brice, actually this case would be mutter, because the halacha is that svek sveka is mutter. It's only because the entire group got mixed up that even though here we have Tre Rubi, the cows still remain forbidden. So again, Nesar Bachem Bachem Bachem, Koinsonai Solakipa. So we put them all into the cell where they die of starvation. Rav Elazar of Shimon Oimer, Mavirai Solabezdin, Vesiklonai Sol. We do Skila. So here clearly, this Machloikis parallels the Machloikis of the Tanakam, of the Rabbanan of Yehuda. The opinion of the Tanakama, of the Braisa, is the same as the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that we put them into a cell. And the opinion of the Rabbi Elazar and the Braisa, that we do Skila, is the same opinion as the Tanakama Va Mishnah, where the Tanakama Va Mishnah says, Cyclone, I say. Amamar. So as we said, the Gemara will now analyze the first section of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Im Achloi Nigma Dina Yolda, if before it had the baby, if the cow gave birth before her verdict was finalized, then the halacha is vladimuteris, the child is permitted. Says the Gemara, does that mean Vavagav dehi nacha, even though when it killed Hava Ma'abra, it was pregnant. Asked the Gemara for Ha'amar Rava, didn't Rava teach us? Vlad Hanagachas Usur, that the child of an animal that killed, the halacha is that that child may not be brought on the Mizbeach, because, as a carbon. Why? Because he uvloda nacha. Both of them killed together. Similarly, Vlad Hanirbas, the offspring of a pregnant animal that was sodomized by a person, is Osir, because he vloda nirbu. They both participated in this act. So ask the Gemara the same thing here. Why is the child exempt? Ema answers the Gemara. We have to reinterpret the Braisa. The Braisa is referring to a situation. Ema actually nigma dina ibra v'yolda. If the cow conceived and gave birth before her verdict was proclaimed, then the halach is vlad mutter. The vlad is mutter. But if the animal only conceived and gave birth after the verdict was announced, the halacha is vlada asa. Because since it's the offspring of a forbidden animal, the halacha is that it's treated like, since it's the offspring of a forbidden animal, it's treated like its mother, and it too will be asa. So I saw that the Megillas Hayom asks a question. How could the Gemara give such a teretz? We've learned at the Daf Ayin Tes on the base, and we quoted at the beginning of our shiur today, that the halach is kamisas habalim kachamisas hashar, and the halach is that if a pregnant woman is sentenced to death, we don't wait for her to have a baby. However, the halach is that if the child is born prior to execution, he's permitted to live, and he's not executed together with his mother. So if the halacha is kachmisas habal and kachmisas ashar, the halacha ought to be the same here, asked the Megillas Hayom, that if this child was born prior to its mother, the child of this axe was born prior to its mother being executed, the halacha ought to be that the child should not be killed, answers the Megillas Hayom, that a child is deemed as though it committed a crime as a fetus when it was in its mother's womb. It committed the crime together with the mother. But if it's born separately, it won't be put to death because it's still a katan. And a katan is never mechuyev misa. However, by the animal, there is no such distinction between an animal that's a katan versus an animal that's a gadol. And therefore, says Rava, that the newborn calf is executed in such a case, even though, in the case that we just described, even though its mother, even though by a human, it would not be executed under such a case. Ask the Gemara, Hani Chalaman Domer, this explanation that we just gave is understandable according to the opinion that Zevazeh Goyim is Osir. Here we have two factors creating the child. We have the mother and the father. So the mother, as we just explained, was an animal that was sentenced to death. So this child that comes out from the mother is also executed. However, the father wasn't an animal that was sentenced to execution. So we say Zevazeh Goyim is Osir. So we just need the fact that the mother was sentenced to death is adequate that the child should have to be sentenced to death. However, ask the Gemara. Elamandam, according to the opinion that says Zevazeh Goyim is mutter, so we have to look at the mother and the father. So although the mother is an animal that's mechuyev misa, the father is not an animal that's mechuyev misa, and he contributed obviously to the birth of this child. So why should the halacha be, asked the Gemara, Ma'ik Lameima, why should this baby be sentenced? And as Tosfos points out, Tosfos points out that even though there's a question, do we say a choshen l'zera'av or ain choshen l'zera'av, by an animal do we take into consideration who the father is or not? That's only in a situation where the father and the mother are identical. Here the father and the mother are not identical, because the mother is an animal that was designated, was sentenced to death, and the father is not. Furthermore, Reb Chaim Brisker goes on to explain that even though the child born of a treifa is considered a treifa, because in that situation, it's not that we're saying that it's the mother that influenced the child. Rather, the child born of a treifa is because it emanated from a davar osur. And anything that emanates from a davar osur is considered osur. But here, it's not because it emanated from a davar osur. We want to apply, rather, says Reb Chaim, the din that we want to do to the mother, also to the child. And in that, asks the Gemara, that the father also contributed to the birth of the child. And since the father also contributed to the birth of the child, that the father's existence should also be taken into consideration. El Amar Ravina, because of this question, says Ravina, Ema im achlay nigmadina ibra v'yolda, if the cow conceived and gave birth before her verdict was finalized, dalach would be v'lada mutter, the child would be mutter. Vim achlay nigmadina ibra, however, if the cow conceived before her verdict was finalized, or mishenigma dina yolda, and then after her verdict was finalized, that's when the verdict was given, the halacha is asur. The child would be forbidden. Why? Because there's a new halacha, uba yerech imai. Even though the calf was not yet conceived when the animal did the damage, it still would be asur. Because the halacha looks at the fetus as part of its mother's body. So whatever will be the halacha on the mother will pass on to the child, because the halacha is uba yerech imai. And in fact, from here we have a raya, according to some paiskim, that the halacha in all areas of halacha, of all areas of halacha, is uba yerech imai. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks, if we say that Uber is considered part of the mother, so Halacha asks from Kivega, is why is someone allowed to have relations with his wife when his wife is pregnant? Isn't he having relations with his daughter? And we've learned so many times that one is not allowed to have relations with his daughter. So Kivega answers that since we've learned so many times that bia with a daughter, with a girl who's less than 3 years old, is halakhically not considered a bia. So here too, we will have to apply that concept that the halacha is that we're not concerned about having relations with the mother, even though the daughter is in the mother's womb. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that when we say uba yerech imai, we don't say that the child has its own identity. The child is like the foot of the mother. The child is like the hand of the mother, and therefore it doesn't have its own independent identity. There is no problem of having relations with it. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting vart from the Gra. If we're learning now that uba yerech imai, that a child is considered part of the mother when the mother is pregnant, why is the minig, asked the Gra, that when we do kaparis, Erev Yom Kippur, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the minig is that if the mother is pregnant, so we bring a hen and a rooster. Because if the child is a girl, so the female, the hen that works for the mother, will work for the child too. But it may be it's a boy, and the boy, you need to bring a rooster. So ask the Gra, if we're saying uba yerech imai, we shouldn't, it's a part of the mother. So the hen that works for the mother should be for the child. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gra's teretz is as follows. Let's say you had a woman, just for the sake of explanation. Just say you had a mother. You had a woman that had a male foot. You have a woman with a male foot. The halacha would be that such a woman would have to bring two chickens for a kapara. A female for her whole body and a male for a foot. Again, I emphasize, I understand that this is physically impossible. Similarly, here we have a mother, a female, that has a male organ. So you have to bring the rooster for that male organ that exists in the mother's body. It's interesting that I saw from Rav Scheinberg that he says that even though we say in our Gemara that Uba Yerech Imai, that the child is considered part of the mother, still says Rav Scheinberg that halacha is that one is mispalil for a pregnant woman, he should mention the child separately. Why does he have to mention the child separately? If we're learning now that the child is considered an extension of the mother, so it says Rav Scheinberg, when we mispalil, when we daven for a child, a fetus, we're not only being mispalil for as long as it's in its mother's womb until it's born. We're also being mispalil for the future, and the future it'll certainly be an independent body. And for that we have to be mispalil. For that we have to be mispalil now already and mention this child separately. Kol Chai V'Mises says the Gemara that in any situation where we had different people who had different Chiyuv V'Misa, they got mixed together. So the Mishnah says we give them the more lenient form of execution. Says the Gemara, Shmamina, how do we understand our Gemara? Musral Dava Chomer have a Musral Dava Kal. Because what's happening here is, let's use the example of the Mishnah according to Rabbanan, where somebody who's Mechuyiv Skila and somebody's Mechuyiv Sreifa got intermingled. According to the Rabbanan, Sreifa is the less severe punishment. We're going to give them Sreifa. But we know the halacha is, the Gemara is asking, that the halacha is that nobody is executed unless they got Hasra. And Hasra includes saying which type of death penalty this offense carries. So here, the person who was supposed to get Skila got warned that he'll get Skila, but he's going to end up getting Sreifa. How is that considered a valid Hasra? Says the Gemara, it must be that Shema Mino, Musral Dava Chomer, have a Musral Dava Kal. Included in the Hasra for more severe punishment is included as punishment, Hasra for less severe punishment. And the way Rabbi Chanan explains the concept is as follows. He says that the halacha is that, the halacha is that really somebody who does a more serious offense, it's not pshat that he's only supposed to get the more serious punishment. He's really supposed to get all punishments. Just since he can't get all punishments, he really should be getting skefa, hereg, chenek. The Torah says he's also going to get skila, and given that skila is the most severe of all the punishments, we give him skila. But really, he's supposed to get all the punishments, and that's why musral dava chomer have a musral dava kal. Ask Tosfos, why doesn't the Gemara say a different teretz? We learned previously, Mois Yumas Eretzeach, and the Gemara taught us that if you can't give him the execution that he's supposed to, Imat Yochel Amisoi, but Misa Ksuvaba, if you can't give him the execution that the Torah prescribes, give him any execution. So why don't we say the same here? We can't give Skila, so we'll give Sreifa. So the Rishonim give two Terutzim. One teretz says that this halacha is only by a Ritzeach, and the din of our Mishnah is obviously, this din of our Mishnah is not limited to Ritzeach. Another pshat that I saw is that halacha, that we can't give this execution the Torah prescribes, we give any execution, is only said in a case where the criminal escaped. So we want to give him an execution, so we give him that execution. We give him any execution we can. But in a case where he didn't escape, this halacha would not apply. Rabbi Yirmiyahu, we don't have to necessarily say that our Mishnah is a raya, that Musral Dava Chomer have a Musral Dava Kal. Rather, Hochlemai Skinen, we could explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, Shesher Baistam, where Asra was given without specifying which type of Misa he's supposed to get. And says the Gemara, Vai Tanahu, our Mishnah will follow the opinion of the following Tana, the Tanya, Vishah Chai V'Misas Shevetoira, all people who do an aver for which there's a chiyuv misa, ain't me misa nisal be'eda. We only give him the misa if there's a court of 23 members. Ve'edim, we have to have edim. Ve'asra, we have to have asra. Ve'ad shidia shechayiv misas bezdin. The Tanakhama says all we have to do is give him the misa, tell him that he's doing an aveir for which there's a chiyuv misas bezdin. Rabbi Yehuda says that is not enough. Rather, we have to specify which misa he'll get. So obviously the Tana of our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Tana Kama, who says that just saying that you mechuyev misa is enough of a hasra, and that's why that's what happened in our Mishnah, that these people weren't specifically warned to a specific misa. I saw that the Ran now quotes a machloikus rishonim. Now that we're explaining that our Mishnah is going according to the opinion that just giving a hasra without specifying which misa is enough of a hasra, the question is, will this Tana also subscribe to the concept of musra l'dava chomer have a musra l'dava kal? So some Rishonim say, if a misa, if a stam hasra is enough, certainly musra l'dava chomer have a musra l'dava kal. Other Rishonim say that these are two separate concepts, and it could very well be that musra l'dava chomer is not musra l'dava kal. But if you don't say anything, just say you're doing an aver for which the Zachiv Misa is considered much more of a powerful Asra. Where does the Tana Kama learn that just saying that you're doing an aver for which the Zachiv Misa is considered enough of Asra? Says the Gemara, Tana Kama Yal from Mekoshish. He learns it from the Halacha, from the parasha of Mekoshish. We all recall the parasha in the Torah, where there was this person, the Mekoshish, Eitzim, who was Mechal Shabbos, and they did not know which misa to give him. Now that was, and they asked Hashem. Hashem told them that he's supposed to get skila. But when was that told? That was only taught to them after he did the aveira. So obviously, when they gave hasra to the mekayishish, because had they not given him hasra, he would not be put to death. They obviously gave a hasra that did not include, they obviously gave Asra that did not include the Misa, that the type of Misa he was supposed to get. So from here, says the Tana Kama, we have a Raya, that Asra given even without specifying what type of Misa it is a valid Asra. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mekoshish Hara Shaisa. Yehuda says we can't bring a Raya from the Mekoshish, because the Mekoshish was a special situation. I saw two pshatim in Hara Shah. One pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a special situation, the way I'm saying that we should follow, without, that the Misa should be given, even though it wasn't, even though the Hasra wasn't given with specifying which type of Misa he's supposed to get. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. Where is the halacha that you have to give hasra and mention the specific misa? In a case where the Torah had already taught us what misa is supposed to be given. So there the halacha is, since we know what misa is supposed to be given for this aveira, we don't give the misa unless the hasra included that point. But here, where the Torah had not yet taught us the halacha, what misa is supposed to be given, here the halacha is that a hasra stam will be an adequate hasra. The Mishnah said on the skolam and the srofim, if people who are supposed to get misa skila get intermingled with those that are supposed to get misa srefa, Rabbi Shimon's opinion, since he holds srefa as the more severe punishment, we give him skila. The Rabbanans say we give him srefa, because Rabbanan's opinion is that skila is the more severe punishment. Maskele Rav Cheskel Rami Berei, Hanasrafim bin Eskolim, if those that are supposed to be burnt became intermingled with those that are supposed to be stoned, Rav Shimon Omer, Yedoinu b'skilu shesreifa chamura, they get skila because sreifa is the more severe punishment. Amalei Rav Yehuda, Abba loitisnei hachi, you're not ruling correctly. Because our Mishnah seems to say that we're referring to a situation that in the Skolim got intermingled, that the way you're learning, the most of this group are in the Skolim. So if most of this group are people who are supposed to get skila, my area, the sreifa chamura, why are you saying that the reason that they get skila is because sreifa is the more severe punishment? And when we don't know what to do, we give the more lenient punishment, not the more severe punishment. Why don't we just say the reason is, typically, the Reuben Niskalim Ninu. Most of the group are Niskalim. And that's why we follow the roif. So Rabbi Cheskel said to son, what should I have said? Hanaskolim b'nisrofim. You have a group of people who are mechuyev skila that got intermingled with people who are mechuyev sreifa. The halach that Rabbi Shimon Omer, yodayne b'skila, so sreifa chamura. Even though most of the group are nisrofim, so were we to follow roiv, the halach it should be that they should get sreifa. Teaches us Rav Shimon, since we have here people that are also mechuyev skila, and according to Rav Shimon, skila is the less severe punishment, so we give the less severe punishment of skila, not sreifa. Ask Taisus, why taka, don't we follow roif? So Taisus gives two answers. One answer Taisus gives is that at the end of the day, we have here people that are not mechuyev sreifa. And we can't go give sreifa to people who are not mechuyev sreifa. That's why we give them all skila, according to Rav Shimon. Another teretz that Taisus gives, going back to a concept that we discussed in our previous year, that here we're referring to a situation of kavua, and the halach is called kavua kemechza mechzedami, and therefore it's not considered a roiv, it's considered a situation of mechzo mechza, and we don't have a roiv to follow. What is the basis? Explain the achroinim of the machloikis between the two terutzim of Taisvis. The question is, can this be considered kavua? Could kavua, is it only a situation of kavua where we were able to identify the two groups separately, but here we were never able to identify who is who? Or could it be a kavua even a situation where we can't identify who is who? Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're explaining the Mishnah. Eima Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. It said in the Sefer, V'chaim Ma'imrim, Yedoyin B'Sreifa. In a situation of Nisgalim B'Nisrofim, since the Chacham hold that Sreifa is the less severe punishment, we give them Sreifa because they hold Skilas Chamura. Why do we say that's the reason? Why do we say that the reason they get Sreifa is the Reuben Nisrofim Anu? Because the majority of this group are Nisrofim. Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. According to you, that you hold that sreifa is a more severe than stoning, therefore, that's why you say they should get skila. But we disagree with you. We hold that skila is chamura, and that's why, in a case where the skolim get mixed up with the srafim, the halach is that they should get sreifa, not skila. However, I saw that the Tzur Yaakov asks a very interesting question. We learned the opinion of Shmuel on Daf Mem Hei based on the pasuk in the Torah of Yada Edim Tiyabai Berishayna, that the Edim have to be the first to execute the criminal, that it's not just something that should be done, but rather, according to Shmuel, it's essential. And if the Edim, as we learned in that Gemara, don't have hands, the Gemara discussed, and therefore they're unable to perform the execution, then the criminal is released. So here in our Gemara, if we have the Niskalim got mixed up in the Srafim, and we don't know who is who, how could we give Mises Bezdin? We don't know who is who. Answered the Tzur Yaakov, the only way to explain our Mishnah, according to the opinion of Shmuel that we just quoted, is that all of these people that are convicted criminals in our Mishnah and a Mechuyev Mises Bezdin, we just don't know who is Chayev, which Mises Bezdin, all had the same group of Edim. So if they all had the same group of Edim, it's always going to be the same Edim who are going to give the punishment because they are the Edim to all of these criminals. But then ask the Mefarshim another question. We've learned in our Mishnah, we're going to discuss this more, that Rabbi Yehuda introduced the concept of the keeper. That if we don't know, under certain circumstances, what to do, the halach is, we put them into the cell, where the offender is starved to death. So here in our Gemara, Why is our Gemara teaching us that in Skolim and Nisrofim sometimes we can't give out the punishment? We just learned a case where Shmuel says that we free them if the Edom can't give the punishment, because like we learned, let's say the Edom don't have hands. Why don't we just put them into, put the criminal into a cell for starvation? So Mefarsh Manson, we quoted this opinion of the Rambam in our previous year, that this halacha of putting the perpetrator into a cell where we starve to death was only said by murder, because we want to control society from having murderers in its midst. But it's not referring to any other averus. Amle Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel said Rabbi Yehuda Shinana. We have, the Aruch says that two pshatim why he called Rabbi Yehuda Shinana. One is because he's very sharp. Another pshat is that he had large teeth, which the Mefarshim discuss. How could he call somebody with such a derogatory name that he had large teeth? So I saw that the Sheol Tshuva is Torah Lishma. He discusses the question whether somebody who had a big nose, are you allowed to say he's an individual that has a large nose? So he says it depends. If the person is an individual, if that is considered a derogatory way of calling a person, then you're not allowed to say that. If it's not considered an insult, and you're allowed to say it. Obviously, calling somebody saying he had large teeth was not considered insulting. So he said to him, "Loi tem levuchacha, you're not allowed to speak to your father that way." The Tanya, Hareisha over the Vetaira, if one's father was violating a halacha, lo yoimeloi, we shouldn't say to him, "Ata abba varta the Vetaira, father, you have been over the Vetaira." Lo yoimeloi, abba kach. Cost of a Torah, father, so it says in the Torah. We're going to learn first the Gemara according to Rashi, and in fact the Mefarshim point out from here we see how careful one has to be in kibud of the aim, that even though the father here is obviously a Rasha, he violated a din in the Torah, still he has to be respectful on how he speaks to his father, and he just says to him, Abba, my father, kach cost of a Torah. Is this what it says in the Torah? Soif, Hainohach, ask the Gemara, isn't that going to be considered like a situation by asking him? Rashi's Peshat is, by asking him, haven't you been over what it says in the Torah that you're speaking without the proper respect to the father? Al-Oimalai, what he should say to him, Abba, Mikra Kos B'Torah Kach. He should just make a statement. He doesn't tell the father you violated what it says in the Torah. He just makes a statement, and if the father figures it out, fine, if not, not. So according to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara and the Havamina assumed that the son should ask a question, and the Gemara and the Maskana says, don't do it in a question form, just make a statement. The Rambam learns just the opposite of the Rashi. According to the Rambam, the Gemara and the Havamina assumed a statement should be made, and then the Gemara says the Gemara says that making a statement is not considered proper respect. And therefore the Rambam says what should be done is that an innocent question should be asked. And the father perhaps will figure it out. D. Mefarshim however say that this is only in a situation where the father already did the Avera. And the son wants to inform the father what he's doing is incorrect. However, if the son sees the father while he's doing something incorrect, there the halacha will be that it's no difference that it's a father and a son. The son could take more direct measures in preventing his father from doing the Avera. However, the Paiskim always say that the best advice always is if the son could find somebody else, not he, to be the person to point out to the father that he's acting incorrectly. Furthermore, I saw in the Shas Tshuvas Michtam L'David that even though we know the halacha is that the chiyuv of teichacha, the chiyuv of preventing a person from doing an aveira, is even ad hakah until the person hits you, says the Shas Tshuvas Michtam L'David, that's not by father son. By father son, it's enough that the son mentions to the father what he did is incorrect, and that is enough saying it once. If the father picks up, fine. If the father doesn't pick up, he doesn't have to do anymore. Although I did see in the Shalos Teshuvos B'Tzela Chochma that the same din that we're learning, the din we're learning is not only in a situation of a Doraisa, the same would be the Halacha by a Drabonon. And so certainly he also says that the din that our Mishnah is talking about is not limited to a father, the same Halacha applies to a mother. So I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky asks, if so, we need to understand the pasuk in the Torah. We all remember the parasha when Yosef brought Menashe and Ephraim to his father, and Yaakov Avinu put his right hand on Ephraim, the youngest son. And Yosef said to his father, Loi Kain Avi. As the Ragachov says, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that our Gemara says you're not to speak to a father that way. So how did Yosef say to his father, Loi Kain Avi, you're acting incorrectly? So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, an interesting teretz, that this halacha, that one is not allowed to correct a father, is only said in a situation, in a dvar halacha, like we're learning, where the father is doing something wrong, doing an avera. So how does the son point out to a father that he's acting incorrectly halachically? But when it's not a situation of a dvar halacha, where it's a situation just of a fact, where, like this Gemara, where Yaakov Avinu, according to, like this pasuk, where Yosef assumed that Yaakov was getting mixed up, who was the older son and who was the youngest son, in such a situation, a son correcting a father is permitted, and that's why Yosef was allowed to say to his father, Loi Kain Avi, perhaps you're making a mistake and getting mixed up between who's the older son, Menashe, and the younger son, Ephraim.